Hello, and welcome to the Natty's Podcast. I'm your host, Andrew D., and with me today we have Cliff Lindsay.
How's it going?
It's going fantastic, dude. And our guest today, Paul LaRue.
Hey there.
Hey, all the way out from Alberta. Alberta, right?
Yeah, Edmonton.
Edmonton, Alberta. Fantastic. What is it like out there anyhow right now?
Oh, it's pretty nice. We've actually finally hit spring.
Yeah, finally, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Good old Canadian spring. It doesn't have a clue what it wants to do most days.
I thought it was snow here this morning. What was with that? Did you get that in Durham?
No. We got beautiful sun. Actually, to be funny, to be very honest, I traveled up to Peterborough today. And I missed the snow, but that's fine. If you had snow, that's okay. You can keep that.
It was gone by 10, but still, like, what the heck is going on?
I know. I want the sun. I want to get out there and bike ride and everything like that, and just get back to it. So, today we have Paul joining us. We have had you on before, Paul, but if you want to give just a little introduction to yourself, just to remind everybody who you are, that'd be fantastic if you don't mind.
Sure. I think most people probably know me from my art. I've been doing X-Wing alternate art cards for a very long time now, but, I also play competitively. I've been playing X-Wing since the very beginning. I got one of the first core sets that we saw in Edmonton. So I've been playing since, I've been down to Worlds twice with my son, played a bunch of, all the regionals and hyperspace events that I can get to and store championships and stuff. So I would definitely consider myself a competitive player, and I've just sort of started tipping my toes into TTS online now.
Which has been so much fun. I actually really enjoyed getting a game in with you before. It's a thing, right? With the pandemic, like without all this opportunity to play, it's tough to be able to, get those games in and enjoy the game that we have. Thank goodness you have your son, which is awesome, because I'm going to guess that you guys can get some games in together.
Yeah, we play a ridiculous amount at home.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, we actually, at the start of the pandemic last year, picked up CIS. And just so we could both learn how to play it and play against it. So it's been great, because we've both been able to keep up our skills on the table. But after a year of pretty much just playing him, though, I'm ready to play other people.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but did we play each other in a hyperspace or Canadian Grand Championships or whatever they called it a year ago? I'm not sure if you remember, but I think you were playing like Quick Draw, Kylo, and something else. It's kind of a generic first order list. But,
yes. Was that at the System Open?
Yeah, maybe. That's if I'm thinking of the same game, you had second player, and I yeeted it early with Poe slamming, and you were able to dodge it like a pro with Quick. Not even – it was just a simple – I just did not expect you to just go slow with Quick Draw, and you dodged it, and you eliminated Poe almost dead first in engagement. Am I thinking of the right game?
Possibly. I know I played a couple resistance lists there, and yeah, I had Quick Draw, Kylo, and Null.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. You're no rookie to eliminating Poe Dameron's, I guess.
Yeah. That event was great. What did I end up, whatever it was to get into World's top, was it 16 or whatever?
I think it was top 8 that you need to be in that one.
It was top, well, that's where I got my World's invite for 2019. So whatever that was, top 8.
Same here.
Yeah.
It's okay. Regardless if it happened or not, it happened. It's fine. Quick Draw demolished Poe. It was very sad for Cliff.
Yeah, I think that was when I was flying either Ion, had an Ion cannon on or something, but it had Poe in 3 A-Wings. It was like the 1.0 before I got Tractor Poe, I think. Maybe that was Tractor Poe. Anyway, whatever.
You must be pretty happy that you got into Sys now, Paul, because things are happening, Sys, and wonderful things.
Horrible things, I would say. I actually don't like CIS. Jean-Luc does. He loves it. He's been really enjoying various builds with them. The best thing that I've gain from it is learning how to fight them. After after that knocked me out in Worlds in the top 16, I figured I needed the practice to make sure that I didn't make any mistakes again.
They're a tough nut to crack. I struggle playing them as well. There's not that many players around Peterborough who play, heavy swarm style, let alone swarm style CIS, right? Titus really likes playing the organics, but it's not quite the same when you're playing that straight seer swarm, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's challenging.
Yeah.
I mean, it was at one point. At least Seer has been brought down quite a few notches.
Yeah.
I mean, before it used to, you could have Seer and all the toys and all the fixes, but at least it's brought down a lot. But, so much strength in numbers. The Vultures still have an amazing utility as such a cheap ship. Like, TIE fighters wish that they were Vultures most days.
Oh, absolutely.
And like, can the TIE fighters get a linked action, please? Just one. FFG, sorry, AMG, anybody? A link to evade would be great. I mean, if it's not that, they've got the fire sprays now, and if it's not the fire sprays in Scum or Bed, the fire sprays in Sis are also very mean.
They're worse than Sis. They're horrible. They're brutal. They really are. There isn't too much, I think, that like FFG really made an error in 2.0 at the beginning, but the fire spray not having a mobile arc like the A-Wing, I think is definitely one of them.
That's actually such a good idea. I think, Paul, you were the one who originally mentioned the idea that having the mobile fire arc for the fire spray would have been a good correction or a good direction to go with that, to not have it be as powerful as it is.
Even make it a white link like the SF, right? Doesn't matter about stress, but being able to bump them and block them from shooting backwards is pretty nice.
Yeah, that would totally change that ship.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, so it's hard for me right now to want to play Zam. I think Django's a little light-hearted, like you might be able to get away with a Django and it be okay in the near future. But Zam for certain, Dooku for certain, and a few other different toys here and there, I think are definitely going to see some points increase. So it's hard to want to play some of these things that are, super powerful right now if, we're going to see it go up. So it's like almost a waste of time to invest energy into getting good with that kind of a ship, right? I don't know how you guys feel about it.
You guys want to hear a greasy Zam list that I played?
Sure.
So I keep on, anytime I talk about greasy lists, I always talk about the local Peterborough player, Dave. He's got, so this is a Zam crew in a Scum faction. So you have Zam crew. He had it on the, what's the big ship that gives you the tractor beam, the Shadowcaster?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Shadowcaster.
So he had it on a Shadowcaster, and the first couple turns, the Shadowcaster would move, take an evade. And then that had Zam crew. And then he had a Y-Wing with automated target priority, and then a turret, doesn't matter what. And then he had R5 TKO, which lets you perform attacks against friendly ships.
Mm-hmm.
So the first three turns before you engage, the Y-Wing actually has to shoot Zam.
Yeah, prep Zam so that...
Zam is getting charged.
Yeah.
This guy, and he's taking target locks, and he's re-rolling his hits. So by the time I engage, he had four calculates on the Y-Wing. Because automated target priority, he was missing, and he was charging up Zam.
Oh, do you?
It's
get,
a you do you miss?
Do you get to calculate every single time?
Every single time you miss your shot.
That's interesting.
So I mean, that's it's not a full list, but you insert that into a couple Scum combos, and I think it has some super scummy, greasy potential because Zam first roll of engagement charged up. That itself is huge, right? Then this Y-Wing is all of a sudden super tanky for the rest of the game. It was pretty awesome.
A question without looking at the cards, I don't have them in front of me. With that droid, you have, and automated target priority, you have to shoot the closest target. So
you do.
If the Shadowcaster is closer than an enemy, he has to shoot the Shadowcaster even during the engagement.
That's right. So it came up once. He decided just to not shoot, right?
Yep.
Sorry. You can choose not to. You can't choose to engage. Or, sorry, you can choose not to shoot, but you can't choose not to engage, right?
Right.
So I think it was a one-time case where he just didn't shoot that turn, and you know, not shooting sucks, but for having calculates the whole game, I think it made up for it, and that was the first time that he played it, right? So you know, you get that those little quirks out early when you're testing out a list, and I think that there's something seriously to that. Like, I was super impressed.
That's super disgusting. It's such a stupid scum thing to do.
Yeah, I know. And that whole combo, I mean, you take Zan out of even the combo, that R5 TK and automated targeting, that's a 1 point combo there. Destroys free.
Oh yeah, yeah, true. Did he have a turret on that Y-Wing?
Yeah, he had, I think he had dorsal or, I think he had a dorsal turret really. And he
so
was
at least that helps with ATP, right? Because you can choose out the different arcs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Because if he has his buddy, you know, in his side arc, you just say for the first time, I'm just going to shoot front arc. But ignore Zam totally. That didn't need a security officer with that droid and a 1 point targeting computer and say what? Turret, 2 point dorsal, 5 point ion. That's a really good standalone ship just to get loaded up with those calcs early on. And like, you're not going to hit yourself. A couple times I thought he came close, but if you take an evade token with the ship that you're shooting at and you take a target lock to reroll your hits, it's pretty low chance you're going to do damage to yourself, right? But it's super cool.
I said about editing, but I think, you know, that's fine. I'm just going to edit that out, right? That's fine.
keep that low. Yeah, we don't want that coming out.
What do you think about that shenanigans, Paul?
Well, the nice thing with Zam on Ketsu is you can actually end up tractoring large base ships, which is one of rare times you can do that.
That's so good. that's crazy.
Oh, no.
It's the next level thinking. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Oh, such nasty stuff. I was actually just thinking recently about a list where I'm taking Darth Maul instead of Jango and taking Zam, so that way you can get out of assists. That way you can get double shots with Maul and you can get double shots with Zam. So even though you only have the two, you can get four shots.
So Ketsu with the title, I'm just putting title, and then crew is, her name's Zam, right?
Mm-hmm.
Zam Wessel. First off, 4 points, crazy, by the way. It's 103. That leaves a lot of stuff open. Like, just having Zam as 4 points is okay. This I'm just repeating what Dave was his points in our conversation. But Zam Wessel is 4 points. There's a crew in the Rebels that does essentially the same thing but less. And Magva, after you defend, if the attack hit, you may acquire a lock on the attacker. Similar way to get those free target locks. Magva is 7 points versus Zam, which is 4, and it does the same thing. You don't have to defend, and you get to potentially shoot twice, right? Seems like a really good 4 point upgrade now that I'm thinking about it.
Yes. Yeah, I think Zam snuck through the points a little bit. I think the concept was like, oh, you know, between the choosing of cards, it would be like a little more trickier to really get these charges. And then it was very quickly found that there are just so many ways to get the charges.
Yeah.
And Zam crew is a steal. I mean, what's the cheapest double attack? Like, you get snapshot for 7, you know, Zam crew at 4, and you also get, you know, lock opportunities there. You get different, you know, whether you're getting shot at or not means different things. Like, there's a little bit of skill in there, but overall, good for 4 points.
Veteran turret gunners 8, best chance 10. They're all like that 7+ range to shoot twice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Zam could double in points and you would still see her everywhere.
Yeah, I think people would take her for sure.
Oh, for 8 points, easy. Mm-hmm. Easy. She's still on the board, absolutely. I mean, especially when you get these, mostly I find in the scum builds, where you like all of their ships are taking can take crew, right? So mm-hmm. it's like you just throw Zam in there and bam, next thing you know, you have your big ships are taking double shots, and you throw Gamma Key in there with Gleb, and then you're getting double shots, and you're getting coordinated, and you're holding on the tokens, and yeah, and it's hard to like shoot that little numpty. Paul, maybe you know what I'm talking about when I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you liking your Kanan?
I like Kanan. I think he's really good. He can get kind of pricey, but I still think he's worth it. I definitely have changed my opening after we played, realizing that I put Kanan in such a horrible spot, so I don't do that anymore.
He needed to go, sir. He
absolutely
needed to leave.
Yeah, anyone who doesn't target Kanan first usually dies. So it's really hard. If you leave him, it's really hard then to deal with
him
later.
This is the game you guys played against each other?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he has an exponential ability. I sometimes look at X-Wing in a lens of, you know, how many actions did you acquire? Not necessarily actions as in, you know, take a focus token or take an evade or whatever. But more so under the lens of how many things did you get to do? You get to attack this turn? Check. You get 1 point, right? Did you get to take tokens? How many tokens? You know, give yourself a point for each token. Did you affect another person's dice? You know, give yourself another check. If you can add more check marks in quotations than your opponent, I think that equation to some degree means a game won most often. I don't know what you guys think about that perspective, or do you guys even think about looking at the game like that?
Well, I think that's a great way to look at it.
I think you go first.
Sorry. Yeah, I think it's a great way to look at it. And though, like, some of those check marks I think are worth more than others even. I think anytime you get to modify your opponent's dice, it's such a psychological hit that that ends up being worth more than, you know, in that equation. So Kanan, I think, is great in that. You know, Dooku, the same kind of deal, right? Where you can modify your opponent's dice. It's, it can just add.
Dooku is just, it's just one of those things that people have been sitting on. It's like, now that Dooku is so prevalent, it's crazy to think that, wow, he hasn't been used all this time. I mean, the platform is really perfect, which is fair, but nothing feels worse than you're like, okay, I'm going to fly over the debris, whatever, I take a stress, chances are I won't take a crit. Well, yes, you will. Oh, yes, yes, you will get a crit.
I think when it comes to comparing, you know, a point for this, for taking an action kind of thing, I don't know if you guys are like football fans or at all, but like in post games, they have both quarterbacks and they say completions, percentage, longest throw, interception, stuff like that. You could probably have the same amount of thing with X-Wing, like total red dice thrown, total green dice thrown, total actions taken, stuff like that. And you'll see a pattern just like you said, right? There's definitely some correlation with all those things combined, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So
let's talk some art.
Yeah, I was going to say, as much as the game is really awesome to talk about, and it is, Paul, you've been doing this and this being creating some incredible artistic pieces for this game for so long. First of all, you are an artist by trade. You've told me this before. Where did you start in regards to being an artist? I think a lot of people, myself included, go, man, I wish I could draw like that. I understand a good aspect of it is practice for sure. There's also, you know, a little bit of knack in there. Where did you begin? You know, how was that the artistic journey for you? How did you get where you are today?
Well, that's a long journey.
First, there was baby Paul LaRue.
Yeah.
He was given a coloring.
Well, an interesting fact about me is my parents used to own a comic book and game store.
Oh, so cool.
So I grew up basically just surrounded by, you know, comics and games and art and stuff.
Cool origin story already.
Yeah. So that was like, I think like grade six, kind of like that's about when they started. So I was always drawing. I was always kind of known as that, you know, as the comic book guy or the Star Wars guy. So that's where it started. Right from high school, I was giving, like, my art teacher would take me out of my other classes and have me like present and talk with the other art classes in the high school. So that was fun.
That's incredible.
I took college night courses for art during high school, and then I went and took illustration actually at Sheridan College, out your way, because everyone said if I could get in there to go there. I didn't love it. Came back, took graphic design here, and then for the last bazillion years, have been doing graphic design as my trade. And back probably around 20, I don't know, maybe about 2012 or somewhere in there, I started up a webcomic that I worked on for a while just as an excuse to do some fun work that wasn't, you know, logos and websites and stuff like that. And then I was playing competitive Warhammer in that great community for years.
Yeah.
And
I don't hear any tone in your voice.
No, no tone. There's no tone there.
No tone.
I got some stories there. But
it's now a Warhammer podcast.
Exactly. So then when X-Wing was announced, I was super excited, and as soon as it came out, I started playing. And in March of 2015, I started doing alt art cards. So they had, FFG had brought out, you know, a couple of the alt art movie stills, in some of the first kits that they released. And
so long ago.
And I knew there was pilots and stuff that I wanted to have different art for that, I knew they just would never do. So I decided to take it on myself. And as far as I know, I was the first person that started doing new art for, like, in like fan-made art for the alternate art cards for X-Wing. My first one was Dark Curse, who's a TIE pilot.
Nice. I'm so happy you answered that question, because that was going to be one of my questions. Was, yeah, what was the first one? But Dark Curse, okay, for sure.
Yeah, he was one of my favorite TIE pilots back in the day. And
what did he even do?
You couldn't reroll dice against him or spend focus tokens against him. So
nice. We can use,
like,
that again.
Similar ability that we've heard before.
Yeah, like he was sort of a Midnight Light.
Yeah.
And
hashtag please lower the points on Midnight.
Yeah. Well, we can talk about Midnight too and Zam. But
yeah.
So yeah, I started then, so that's been just over 6 years now. And literally haven't stopped. I've made, I don't know, probably I know over 400 cards.
Wow.
I had a couple of people ask me to do like a checklist for them, and I was like, oh my God, no. Because there's a lot of them between first and second edition. But yeah, so, and just still going. It's a lot of fun. It gives me a chance to sort of just do whatever art I want, and carried over with my love of Star Wars and my love of X-Wing.
Now, there seems to be a very similar medium between the cards that you do. How do you create these, you know, these designs?
Just as far as...
Like, what you just, do you, is, I'm just like, concept to flourishing. Like, are you sitting there going like, I think I'll draw Dark Curse today. And you take out a pen and paper, and that's where we're starting? Or like, what's your usual go-to from like thought to final product?
Yeah. Well, I work pretty far in advance. Like I just, for example, I just finished September's cards this week.
Wow.
So I generally my current workflow is thinking about who I'm going to work on, and I try to do a mix of, you know, popular pilots and some of the odd ones that don't see a lot of play, just because, you know, they're, you know, no one else is going to do art for them. So I try and keep them mixed up as far as popular and current meta pilots, as well as other ones. And then I'm usually thinking about them for quite a while. For example, like for October, I usually do a Halloween inspired card, which is like, you know, a zombie style card.
Your zombie bigs I've seen in that, right?
Yeah.
That one?
Yeah. I've done a few. I've done zombie bigs. I've done, a zombie Ben. I've done the Darth Maul skull and a few other things. So I think this year I'm actually going to do the full month of cards as Halloween themed. So I've already got ideas in my head. So before I would sketch out a lot of what I was going to do. Now I can generally start just kind of getting into the piece itself. By the time I get to it, I've already thought about it quite a bit. I do a mix. Like I'll do some stuff on paper, but most of it now I do all digital. And
okay.
Just because it's,
I guess it's so easy to, yeah.
It's faster and it's easier. And the biggest thing is it's a lot easier to reproduce. Like when I do the art for the card, I do them at 11 by 17. So there's a ton of detail in them. And I usually have prints of a lot of my popular ones, so you can actually see the full art that usually gets cropped quite a bit for the card.
So one thing I've always found is that the detail on your art is, like, your website, unfortunately, just cannot capture how amazing your designs are in person.
Yeah.
What's the website called?
It's polaroo.com.
Okay, well, that's pretty easy.
So,
yeah. Sorry, continue, Paul.
Yep, yeah, and the process that I use is I generally will do stuff either on my iPad, where I'll usually do a lot of the initial work. I use Procreate on the iPad. It's a great app for any aspiring artists out there. If you want to do digital art, that is the way to go. It's the cheapest way to go, and the company behind it is really great.
What does that run on?
So, well, that runs on my, it only runs on the iPad.
Okay.
Yeah. And, but it's like,
how much is a program like that?
That program, I think it's like $10 maybe. Like it's super cheap. Which is amazing.
That's crazy.
When you compare it to like Photoshop, there's no price comparison. And I would pay, I would probably pay five times whatever they're asking for it, because it is that good of a program.
That's so good. Yeah, I personally own Corel because of different work that I've done in the past, and that, as you probably already know, is also much more than $10.
Yes. yeah, it's been interesting. This year, I've actually I have canceled my Adobe subscription, and I've given up on them because of their cost, and I've moved over to Affinity Software, which is really quite, like, it is on par with Photoshop, so Affinity Photo. They seem to be a really good company that actually, you know, cares about their people and their users. And it can do everything Photoshop can. Some things it does a little better, some things are a little awkward, but it's pretty good. I also have a drawing tablet for my computer, which is where I do most of the color work. So I'll do a lot of the initial drawings and stuff on my iPad, and then I'll transfer over and do inks and color work on in Affinity Photo now, and I used to do it in Photoshop.
That's so incredible. How long would you say, on average, some of your cards take to create for yourself from beginning to end?
So, on average, and I've got a couple different styles. Right now, I've been releasing a lot of like a pencil crayon ship pieces. Those take a little bit less, but the character pieces that are done in that sort of comic book style, they usually start around 20 hours.
Wow.
And
that's insane.
Some of them can go really long depending on how much detail and how many characters or backgrounds there are. It is a ridiculous amount of time. But I do it because I love it. And it is just fun and it helps support playing. So
that's it's so awesome. I absolutely love the stuff that you have done in the past. And like, I can't wait to, I was actually just waiting for this paycheck to come in so that I can go through the website and pick something out, a print to grab, because they're so good. They're so amazing. I have a ton of questions. Hey, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you give away a lot of his cards in your tournaments, don't you?
I have in the past, especially the ones that Paul donated. I have not dabbled in really purchasing like lots because I had received a lot from a local person. But the quality is good with the person local that had provided, and it was kind of like helping out a friend kind of deal. But moving forward, that would totally be a thing that I would love to happen. In fact, I've already bugged Paul a few times to start creating stuff on card, like a plastic card. But there's a whole bunch of challenges in there, and I'm more so being just like wanting.
I've actually looked into that again, and I haven't found a supplier that can do exactly what I want with them yet. There were a couple options, but they weren't great options. So that might happen at some point in the future. Hopefully, once I can find a good supplier that can actually do what I want to do with them.
Yeah, because I guess it's really, you want your art to be able to fit on that medium, you know, perfectly. You mm-hmm. want that. You want the final product is to be crisp. Actually, you know what you want it to look like, right?
Yeah.
What kind of plastic are you talking here? Is it like, are you talking about like hard? I don't know. Like, are you talking about like a flexi thing or like what?
Like myself, what am I hoping for, or what does Paul have?
No, I was talking about for Paul. Paul, what are you trying to get? When
yeah, so like those system open cards that they had, something like that.
See-through ones.
Yeah, I've done. Actually, I used to do plastic cards for most of 1.0 and maybe into 2.0 even, but I used to do plastic cards. They were really good as far as some elements of, you know, like they wouldn't, you could get them wet and it didn't matter, but I found they scratched really easily, so they would actually wear a lot faster. And also I had a few people who had them melt where they left them like,
oh geez,
on their dashboard in their car or whatever.
Oh.
And they would melt. So I've actually shifted to a higher quality stock that actually prints the art a little cleaner. And won't do those things. It won't scratch as easy. They won't melt, and any of that.
Do you just do X-Wing, or do you say Legion or other type board games?
I've done a few for Legion. I did some for Imperial Assault, but the communities for those weren't as open, and they definitely weren't as they just weren't as well accepted. As like the X-Wing guys were. So it really just wasn't worth the effort to do cards specifically for those.
Mm-hmm. And now, have you ever thought about the style of card stock, like the plastic card that some of the solid ones, like the opaque ones, almost like the credit card style? Like, have you ever thought about that kind of style of plastic?
Yeah, I looked, like, the problem is comes down to how expensive they are, and especially how expensive they are to ship. Because all
obviously weight is so much more, you know, the material is so much more, the process is probably so much more.
Yeah. And so that it all gets, it just all adds up more than I would like to see. Of course, if I do find a good supplier for something for different, then I'm always open to doing something different.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to find out how to do it and I will be your supplier.
All right.
I will hand cut the acrylic plastic if necessary.
you still need a Boba Fett, don't you? Friggin' Andrew.
Wow. Wow. He's forgotten who I am. That's rude. And you know what? That's staying in here because I'm not editing that out. Screw you. I did get one off of Dune. He was fantastic. I purchased a Darth Maul, a Canadian National, Nationals level from him. And I asked him really politely if he happened to have, because I don't know if you guys, you know, are in the same boat, but sometimes over the years, you know, somebody's like, oh, shoot, I totally forgot to bring ZZ to a tournament.
You live in a different city.
Can I possibly borrow your ZZ? And then they borrow the ZZ, and then they take the ZZ with them.
And then lockdown happens for 2 years. And then,
yeah.
Andrew ZZ is still in my box.
Which is totally fine, because the funniest thing is that you probably put more use into her or him than I would ever. But yeah, no, he graciously threw me a Boba Fett and a Fen Rao, and my collection is complete once again. So back to the art. Cliff, do you have any questions? Because like I said, I have a million and one questions for Paul. So
what about, do you like upgrade cards? I'm assuming you do that too.
Mm-hmm.
I saw some of the cool overdrive thrusters and the slam. But what about do you paint your ships too?
Oh yeah. Most of my ships are all custom painted. If you take a look at like my Instagram or my Facebook feed, I'll post up ships as I paint them.
Yeah, we'll definitely need to post that with this podcast when we. When we make it public, I guess that'd be super cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, so what's your Instagram real quick?
Yeah, go for it.
I'm gonna go check out some of these paint jobs here.
It's
You don't have to stay on the cast too.
No. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, if you want to follow me on there, please
yeah,
do.
Yeah.
It's just Instagram /PLR_ART. So. PLR_art.
Yeah, got it.
That's super mm-hmm. awesome. And if you don't mind, Paul, when it comes to the post cast here, feel free to send me every link that you want connected with this cast, and I will make sure to put them all up there with this cast so that when I'm sharing this around, everyone will be able to have those links available to them. So
sounds good. We'll do.
All right, I'm going to be greedy again. I'm just taking another question. Screw you, Cliff.
Unload.
It's me again. okay. Is there a piece that, you know, you found very, like, you just found challenging? And why was it so challenging?
Oh, so many of them are challenging. I like to challenge myself, and I think that's why I try different styles once I've got to a point where I'm really comfortable with the way something looks, then I'll usually move on to a new style. As far as an individual piece, I don't know. it's kind of interesting, which goes into the process. Like I actually will research the characters that I don't know very well. And as you know, I'm sure there's all Star Wars fans who start playing X-Wing, they're like, who are these people? Like, where are they from? So
I think we all, you know, as we come along across like different pilots and upgrades into the game, you're like, what actually is this that I'm using?
Right.
Yeah,
so
it's a pretty cool part of the game to find some of the lore out of, you know, you name the random TIE pilot or whatever. Right.
Yeah. So I'll go and do my research to try and find out about pilots. Like for instance, you know, with Dark Curse, the very first card I did, he died during the Yavin Death Star run. So the concept of that art, you know, you've got the pilot kind of there with the Death Star in the background, and it was sort of the idea of it was like a memorial piece for him. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of what you'd have at like his funeral kind of thing, like that kind of art piece for him. So it's always trying, you know, I'm always trying to tell a little bit of a story, especially when I get into the character pieces and not just the ships. An interesting one, I just finished a set of Scum cards, and I was looking up Lee McKay. And I don't understand that.
Lee McKay, who is that one again?
That's the new Y-Wing, the skill 5 one.
Right. Super valid Y-Wing, yes.
So I was like, oh, okay. Like, I haven't done a Y-Wing in a while, and I love drawing Y-Wings. So I'm like, I'll do that. And I looked up the pilot, and the stuff on the pilot makes absolutely zero sense to me. They were affiliated with the First Order, and what's her name? Iden Versio, I think, kills him in an N1. So he's actually flying an N1 when he dies, and he's affiliated with the First Order. And I'm like, what? Like, none of this makes any sense.
That's really weird. Yeah. What is the N1, like the Naboo Starfighter?
Yeah.
Really?
So it's always so interesting.
You're absolutely right.
To go and, you know, research some of these.
It would have been funny for you
ones.
To just. Yeah, it would have been just funny to create this art, alternate art, and you know, keep it as a Y-Wing, but just put an N1 on the card.
Yeah, it would be very confusing for people. So,
just like a good Scum player, like no, even my art is gonna throw you off.
Yeah.
I love it. Is there a piece that you is just like one of your not necessarily the favorite piece, because I think that's sometimes a tough question. But mm-hmm. What is a piece that you're just so happy with how it came out, turned out, etc.
There's a few. I guess the two that are hanging up in my house that I have sort of blown up to poster size is the K2SO with BB-8 piece. If you look in my
K2SO with BB-8, oh yeah, like that would be awesome. I have to be honest, I have not seen all of your art. I have seen a bunch of it, but I haven't seen all of it. I gotta go back in there, and I'll be in there soon.
Yeah, if you look at
It right now, is that the one with K2SO sniping the stormtrooper?
No, it's number 89 in my gallery.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's lower. So that one is a really interesting piece, and that one gets like I do expos, so like comic cons and stuff like that, and that one always draws a lot of attention. So that one's probably one of my favorite ones. And it's a little bit of a mashup of timelines, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one I've hanging up is the Boba Fett with Han Solo and Carbonite. Number 74 on my gallery. And, that one turned out really well. I was really happy with how that went. And that one also draws a lot of attention. And it's really interesting because I get very wide ranging comments from people that see it, at shows and stuff. I have it on my display board and it is a very wide range of comments and how people interpret it.
Like, what do you mean by wide?
People interpret it in very different ways. From
okay. That's what art's for.
And that is. And that's I think the reason I like those two pieces. I always say the whole point of art is to create an emotional reaction. So they do that. Whether someone, you know, likes it or hates something, it's still an emotional reaction. So that's always good.
It's so awesome. That's so cool. Do you have any questions, Cliff?
Yeah, what about, so I'm recently started painting some of my ships. I definitely say I'm on the amateur side, but do you have any tips for new painters? Like, I was really, when I was first doing it, I wasn't sure if you should be stripping the paint or priming it first. So far, the paint seems to stick pretty good if you are just doing like small little touch-ups, just to paint over the already painted ship. But what do you do when it comes to, say you got a big base ship compared to a little base ship? when you're first picking it up?
It's pretty much, I do the same process. So if there are some that I will just touch up a little bit, I'll add some details on them. Those I don't, do anything for prep. I'll just paint right on them. But if I'm going to do a full repaint, then, you want to wash the model, just cause sometimes they're, you know, if you've been handling it a lot, there can be skin oils on it and stuff like that, or there can be stuff from the manufacturing process. So if you just give them a light wash with a little bit of dish soap, that makes sure they're clean. You don't need to strip the paint. The paint's applications are pretty thin, so you don't have to worry about that. I will do a light coat of primer. And almost always I actually work white with white primer and work my way up.
Is that because you're painting lighter colors normally? Like why white compared to black or green or whatever?
If you have anything that you want bright, so if you're doing any reds or oranges or yellows or anything like that, it is a pain to do that over black. And so I just find the white is a better base to work from. And I guess probably, you know, when I'm drawing and stuff, I started on a white page anyway, so maybe I'm just more comfortable that way. But, so I'll do a light coat of primer. And then I always paint the largest sections first. So if the hull, you know, that's for like an X-wing ship is probably going to be the hull, whatever color that's going to be. And then build up from there. If I was to have advice as far as, to new people is don't be afraid. One of the nice things, if you're painting with acrylic, and that I would suggest is use acrylic, if it turns out bad, and it I still have ones that turn out bad, it is really easy to pull that paint off. So if you're not happy with it, a little bit of Simple Green will just pull all of your paint off of it and you can start over. So that's really, really easy and nice. Washes are great for getting in the cracks and some of the detail, especially when you're starting. Other than that, when it's done and you're happy with it, give it a little bit of a clear coat, nothing too heavy. That'll just help it from, you know, resist scratching and stuff as it's moving around the table.
I find after, so you can only fit 4 T-70s in the list, but I'm getting so many T-70s where it's like, nope, 9NUM has to fly this red one. Nobody else can touch it now. You know, once you make something a little personal, it's like, first off, that's Pilot's X-Wing. Then I don't yeah. want him to die in the game way more than I would if he was just some generic paint job, right? Even the, like, generic X-Wings. I've got, like, paint jobs for the generic Red Squadrons, you know? And I just, like, is that just me? Maybe you don't want your ships to die no matter what. But it's a little – it hurts a little bit more if it's Kaz's – personal fireball. Maybe I'm crazy.
I don't know. I find fully painted ships tend to be a little luckier. And I know that makes no statistical sense, but I think they're just a little bit more connected to the Force.
Yeah.
All of my Jedi have their own ships in the custom paint jobs. And they're actually right now, they're all in Plo Koon. Plo Koon's scheme with different colors. You can find, there's pictures of it.
I have it. They look absolutely fire.
Yeah. And if you want to, you know, it's funny where I've literally had people message me that have purchased my cards and stuff, and they've been like, I got your cards and then I won my event. And, you know, there's so much, you know, gamers superstition. So I think, you know, if you've got painted ships and painted dials and custom cards, like you're potentially going to do better. you know, with all the mumbo jumbo out of the way,
it's a great business plan.
It is. But
that's sold right now. You heard it here.
Yeah.
Get all cards, paint your ships. Well, you will do better.
Better.
Not, you don't know how much. No, better. Anything no guarantees. Helps you have more fun. I don't know. When you're having more fun, you get more relaxed. You're putting the rep dials in, right? You're rolling better. It feels like you're rolling better.
I bet that there's something to that for sure.
Yeah, well, it also comes back to that intimidation factor, where I've, you know, played against people that I don't know at different events, and they look and they're like, oh my God, you've, you know, all your ships are painted and you've got these cards and you've got this acrylic and whatever else. And it's like, they're already on their back foot, which is, you know, that shouldn't happen, right? Like that, you know, it's not meant to intimidate people, but some people will look at that and get intimidated and then they will play worse. So thus you play better.
Oh, for sure. I've moved to acrylic movement tokens now, but for the longest time I stuck with my cardboard, and the amount of comments I had saying like, dude, get yourself some acrylic. Something I really liked was having my one straight, because I used a lot of barreling boosting ships that was just absolutely destroyed because the cardboard doesn't last. And in some ways that was the opposite of what you're saying, like they're underestimating you because you're just using cardboard kind of thing, which in some days I think that may work to your favor as well. But you're definitely on the right track of like this, you know, 3D level X-Wing, you know, that sometimes people don't always talk about.
Mm-hmm.
That's so good. Yeah, for sure. Cliff, we could go the other way around. I could create my own alt art, and they'll just be like stick figure alt art. And I'll just like, for if I was to ever fly an X-Wing, I'll just actually draw an X. And people will think I'm so bad. And what a chump, man. I'm going to walk all over the sky. And then bam. Oh my goodness. That's so awesome. I love it. Well, Cliff, do you have any more questions for Paul?
I mean, I could just talk about painting all day now. I did not, I'm absolutely blown away by your ships, man. They look incredible.
Thanks. Yeah, most
that's,
of those.
That's so cool.
Oh,
yeah, go ahead, Paul. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I know most of those photos are just off my phone and not with like perfect lighting and everything else. They're just usually quick snaps, but one of these days I'll invest into a nice like light box and stuff so I can take proper pictures of them.
Yeah, I'm still here, Cliff. No, I can hear.
Cliff seems to be gone for me.
Oh, geez. Okay. Well, just to, for the sake of everything, we'll just wrap it up there. I can hear both of you. Thank you so much, Paul, for joining us. Do you want to plug anything before we let you go?
Sure. I'll do one plug before I go. May 4th is coming up. I don't know when you're launching this podcast, actually, but...
it will be... hopefully, it'll be before May 4th. I mean... who knows what time it is that we're doing this?
Right. So as of May 4th, depending on when you hear this,
perfectly executed.
I'm going to have a pretty big sale. I'm starting, I will have a whole raft of over 100 individual cards on eBay, including a lot of really old ones and ones that have sold out or whatever that I've just held back. And I'll have a few sales on my website too. So definitely check all of that out. If you search for P. LaRue on eBay, you'll find it. Or if you go to my website or my Facebook or Instagram, you'll find links to all of those.
Fantastic. Awesome. Thank you so much, Paul, for joining us. I really appreciate everything that you do for the community. I can't wait to be going through your stash there and see what I want to order, because something's coming my way. In fact, you know, I'll probably even get a little bit of different things because, you know, at least for the future, when we can play in person, I'll be looking to throw some of that amazing art out there to the public so people can get more chances to see your stuff. So, thank you. Thank you so much for coming.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's not a problem. That's everything we got here for tonight. All of Paul's information will be linked when we post them online. And apart from that, thanks for tuning into Natty's podcast, and just roll Natty.